Good evening, world. This is Exposito 47, where we amplify and proclaim the whole counsel of God's word. So, we want you to sit back today and listen to this episode, and you feel free to invite and share with all your contacts so that they can partake out of this word feast we're having this weekend. I'm going to take you through the book of 1 John chapter 1. We was talking about this word, this ancient word that is still much more relevant in our contemporary world today. It will be relevant even when there is no time, when time ceases to be. The book of 1 John chapter 1 says that which we had from the beginning, that came from the beginning, the one we have seen, the one we have looked with, the seen with our eyes, the one we've had, the one we've seen with our eyes, the one we have looked at, and the one we have handled, and that's what we are proclaiming. That's the word of life. So we call you to the word of life this evening. Just call everybody that you know to eat, so that we can partake of this. If you've been following us, we've been on the knockout season, and we've been on the long season of prayer. And so for the past 2 or 3 weekends, we've moved away for a bit. There is in prayer, into warfare. So we have topics that I was talking about, spiritual warfare, knowing your balance. We have the one that talked about dress up, put on your belt, let you know that get out of the wrong fight. And last week, the last episode we were talking about your enemy's hideout. So to understand, for you to understand the warfare, the war times. And we'll be on that in Ephesians chapter 6. You know that we have a long way to go in Ephesians chapter 6. So before we continue on Ephesians chapter 6 today, from where we stopped last episode, do you have a thing or two to add to what I think, or maybe to bring our viewers to speak to what we've been sharing?
Yeah, our viewers, thank you again for tuning into this knockout series we've been having on Exposé 247. Now, today we're making progress with what we've actually stopped, where we stopped last transmission. But in a nutshell, let's say this. What we're looking at the moment is to understand, how we take our stand. That in Christianity, we are not being called to, in a way, make advancement. Because most people think our journey in the place of prayer is to be able to, destroy the devil. And, people talk about the fact that they want to take back what Satan stole. But let me tell you the reality. All we are being called to do in the kingdom is to take our stand. Christ got the victory. He gave us the victory. And it says all our business is in the realm of the spirit is to take our stand, which means giving no place to the devil. The devil has been destroyed. The devil has been completely wrecked down by the victory of Christ on Calvary. The responsibility of the Christian, the job of the Christian, is not to try to destroy the devil, is to take our stand in the victory that Christ delivered unto us, all by grace. And that's what we've been looking at. And then before we go on today, let us make one thing very clear, that the Bible says the only guarantee that we have to stand is if we put on the full armor. So I call your attention to the word full armor. You cannot just put on the armor. You've got to put on the full armor. Ephesians 6 tells us from verse 10 to verse 13. And it's based on that we've been looking at each of the item of this armory. So far, we've looked at the belt of truth, where it says, guard your loins with the belt of truth, Ephesians 6:14. Now, today, we need to make progress beyond that. But don't forget, it's so critical and significant that we know that taking on not just the armor, but a full armor is what guarantees that we shall stand at the end of the day. Yeah.
So, we want to continue.
So today, let's make progress. Now, join us quickly. Ephesians 6:14. We're looking at the next item on his armory. And this is what it says. Ephesians 6:14. I'll read. Stand therefore, having therefore your loins, girt about with truth. That's where we stopped last time. So today, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. So look at the keyword. It said putting on. It means taking it onto yourself, the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I want to call your attention to the word breastplate. You see, breastplate, for some of us who are in this 21st century, that might not be very, very familiar with our vocabulary. But for those in the days of Paul, when this was written, it was common knowledge that the Roman soldier would put on something on his breast. It's called a breastplate. And he has to put on that before he can actually be ready for battle. And then that's why we could use a modern connotation where we talk about bulletproof. You know, something to put on the chest to make sure that any thing that's been thrown at you in the chest area, you are protected. But let's say this. If there was nothing that the enemy was going to throw at the chest of the Christian, the Apostle Paul will not ask that we should have on the breastplate of righteousness. So it means putting on this breastplate, or in quote, this bulletproof on our chest, signifies that the enemy is throwing something at our chest. And that's one thing we have to know. And then if we want to look at it, what actually does the bulletproof or a breastplate protect? If you want to say, the heart. Can you see that? That's the heart. And then, you see, before we continue today, we've said this before, but I like this, that the devil doesn't fight the Christian fire for fire. Mm-hmm. Contrary to what you might have been told, that people say, tonight we're going to destroy Satan. Tonight we're going to wreck down the devil. The devil doesn't fight the Christian fire for fire. And the reason is simple. Because according to the scriptures, he's been destroyed. Colossians 2:8, Colossians 2:15 tells us he has been destroyed. In fact, Hebrews 2:14 tells us that Jesus destroyed him. That has the power of the devil. So we have no business fighting Satan. Our business in the realm of the spirit is to take our charge against his weapons, his schemes, his antics. So the Bible is telling us here that the enemy has some schemes against our chest area. He has something he's throwing at us. He has something he's flinging at the heart of a Christian, the chest of a Christian. And the Apostle Paul says by the Holy Ghost that if we're going to stand, we need to put something to protect the chest. And it calls it the breastplate. Or if you please, you can call it the what? The bulletproof, the breastplate. And he tells us the name of this breastplate. He gives this breastplate an identity. This is where it's so critical now. He says this breastplate has an identity, and he calls it the breastplate of righteousness. So he tells us that the believer must put on this righteousness on his chest if he will survive what the enemy is throwing at his chest area. Now, this raises some question which we need to investigate straight away by the word of God. What is coming at the chest of a Christian? What's the devil throwing at us? What is he flinging at the chest of a Christian? And what is the effect? What's the implication if this weapon actually touches our chest area? What happens to the believer? That's what we need to find out by the scriptures. Don't forget, the only guarantee we have to stand at the end of the day, according to verse 12, verse 13, is if we take on what? This full armor. This is not a joke. This is not a joke. We need to take this on because something is coming in our chest area. And that's what we're going to look at quickly.
And maybe we have to find out why it is called. It has to be breastplate of righteousness.
The name.
Breastplate of so many other.
Exactly.
Names.
It has an identity. Let's go quickly to Isaiah chapter 54. Now, we're on a fact-finding mission by the Holy Ghost to see what this breastplate of righteousness is and what we are supposed to take on with it and how we can guide ourselves against what the enemy is throwing. Again, all Satan does to the Christian is throw something at them. The devil cannot attack you. He can only throw something at you. So let's go quickly to Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17, and let's see. Now, you might even want to read, if that's verse 17, you can read from verse 15, please. Isaiah 54, verse 15.
It reads, "Behold, they shall surely gather together."
Okay.
"But not by me."
Now, okay, good. Now, the reason why we're reading this verse, you might want to understand that a lot of Christians, these are the most popular verses, especially for those who believe in spiritual warfare. This is one of our most, read verse when it comes to, throwing fire for fire to the enemy. This is one of the most popular verses. So please, this might not sound in a way that you know it to be. Please receive this with meekness, the engrafted word. Now, let's see. Let's see what it says then.
"Behold, they shall surely gather together, but
okay.
not by me."
They will surely gather against you, not by me. Good.
"Whosoever shall gather together against thee,"
okay,
"shall fall for thy sake."
Yeah, if anybody gathers against you, they will fall for your sake. Now let's see how they're going to gather against you. Are they going to start punching you, or are they going to attack you, or whatever? Let's see what it says. Go on, please.
Verse 16. "Behold, I have created the smith,"
yeah,
"that bloweth the coals in the fire,"
okay,
"and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work,"
okay,
"and I've created the waster," mm-hmm, "to destroy."
Good.
Verse 17.
Now take verse 17 closely. Slowly.
Okay. Yeah. "No weapon."
Now, no weapon. Please, before you read that, I think we need to make this point known. You know, verse 4, verse 15, 16 tells you that they will surely gather against you. Anybody that's going to attack you, and the enemy of your soul will gather against you. But verse 17 is then telling you that the guarding against you might not be in the way you think it is. The guarding against you is not fire for fire. The guarding against you is actually by a weapon. That's why we again emphasize in our last transmission that the Bible says what you and I are called to take stand against are the schemes of the devil. He said, take on, he said what? He said, stand against what? The schemes, the wise. Ephesians chapter 6. And again, can you see this one? He's saying that even though I said they would gather against you, but as it were, this is how they're going to gather. They will gather with weapons, with schemes, with antics, methods. Now look at that. That's why he says, no weapon. Can you see? Go on, please. That is formed against you
shall prosper.
Shall prosper. Can you see? He wouldn't eat his target. He's not talking about the fact that prosperity, because people talk about prosperity, about money and all that. Well, he's not saying weapons will have money. What he's simply saying is that the weapon that is targeted against you will not reach, will not achieve its purpose. Now, watch this. We're going to see what which weapon is. We're going to see what his attack is. Now, go on, please.
And every tongue.
Now, can you get us closely now? You know, every time people quote these verses, I mean, saying no weapon formed from against you shall prosper. People say that when they talk about witches and wizards attacking them, or somebody is trying to rain incantation or divination against them, or somebody is attacking them in the name of the spirit. People quote this verse and say, yes, the Bible says no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. But in the context of Isaiah 54:17, the Lord has something a lot different or deeper than what we think it is. He's simply saying here that if they gather against you, they have a scheme. Is that okay? And it tells you what that scheme is. It's coming from where? The tongue. Can you see that? Is in what they're going to say. Can you see that? And now, so go on, please.
And every tongue that rises against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn.
Now, you see, every tongue that rises against you, he says one thing. He says to condemn you. Now, he says the tongue that rises in judgment. Now, if you read other translations, in fact, I can simply read, if you read the Message translation, and I think we need to read that. The Message translation, Isaiah chapter, which one is that? Which translation is that? Yeah, you can read that. You can read that quickly before I read the Message translation, so that we can see what this has to say. And Isaiah 54, you can read your own translation.
Okay.
Now, because it will tell you that every tongue, you know what comes from tongue? That's words, isn't
okay,
it?
Okay, but no weapon will be able to hurt you.
Okay.
You will have an answer.
Mm-hmm.
For all who accuse you.
Can you see that? Again, it tells you it's about accusation. Can you see that? And then you wonder if they're going to gather against you. I thought if somebody would gather against you, they should fire demonic arrows at you, or as it were, they should, in a way, incantation, and tell you that you are cursed. And the people, you know, as Christians, we have this strange notion, and we need to talk about this clearly. If you are in Christ, the Bible says if anybody's in Christ, he's a new creation. All things have passed away. You are seated with Christ in the heavenly places. Now watch this. Bible says far above principalities and powers. May I say this? It doesn't matter what any witch, any wizard, doesn't matter what any spiritual forces in the realm of darkness. As a Christian, the Bible says you are seated above them. So it means there's nothing they can do to you. But they have a device. Now, you see, and I think in the body of Christ today, we are a lot more concerned about the wrong thing. People try to hold meetings to destroy every witchcraft powers. But as I tell you something, they are much smarter than that. They know that if you are in Christ, you are seated far above them, according to the scriptures. So the Bible says they've got weapons, and not exactly the kind of weapon we think they've got.
Mm-hmm.
It says they've got weapons. They've got mechanisms. They've got wise schemes. You know what a scheme is? A scheme is deceit, if that's the word I might use. A scheme is deception. A scheme is not real. It means they've got a scheme. And this is the reason they've got a scheme. They've got a scheme because they know that the one that dwells in you, I'm quoting 1 John now, he said the one that dwells in you is greater than the one that dwells in what? In the world. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that the devil is the god of this world. But the Bible says the one that dwells in the world is lesser than the one that dwells in you. So Satan knows your position. He cannot, in a way, destroy you as a Christian. There's nothing he can do against you. The one in you is higher than the one that dwells in him. But this is the point. He then has to use schemes. The Bible says he's got a weapon. Can you see that? He's got a scheme. Something to throw at you. And the Bible says, what's that thing? The Bible says all he has to do then is to accuse. In a way, to disqualify. In a way, to condemn you. It means he used that scheme. He said it's a device. The Bible said there's a weapon. He said when he says they will surely gather, but not by what? By me. But he now gives us details of the gathering process. The gathering as a mechanism. He said it comes with words. And what did they do? The very words are meant to accuse you. Now you might say accuse for what? Let's go deeper. He said it's meant to accuse you, or in a way to condemn you, or in a way to disqualify you. Now watch this. Go on, please. This is what we should be concerned about. And we see why the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 6 says, you need to put on this bulletproof, this breastplate. And we see what that breastplate is meant to protect. Now go on, please.
This is the heritage of the servant of the Lord.
This is your inheritance. Can you see? He said, this is your inheritance. Now go on, please.
And the righteousness is of me.
That's it. He said you would need righteousness revelation to deal with that weapon. Can you see that? He said you would need to have a bulletproof. You would need a breastplate of righteousness if you're going to survive the accusation and the enemy is throwing at you. Now, it means then the devil, the reason why Apostle Paul then said in Ephesians 6, chapter 6, verse 14, that a Christian would need to put on the breastplate, the bulletproof of what? Righteousness. He says something is coming. There's a weapon now. There's a weapon that flies around and is flying for your chest, and it says you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. This Isaiah chapter 54 then tells us that actually it says their righteousness, mark that word, their righteousness is of me. Now watch the antidote. What is that meant to deal with? It's meant to deal with what? The weapon of accusation that the enemy is throwing and flinging at you. Now to start with, now begin to see the very first step into this understanding of Ephesians 6:14. The very first step is, it says this righteousness is of me. That is the word. That's the reason why the Apostle Paul says you need to put it on the breastplate of righteousness. He's simply saying you must come to a point in your life where you begin to say, as a child of God, as a Christian, that whatever right standing, whatever righteousness that you do have, whatever qualification that you have, has nothing to do with you. It is of him. It's of God. So that you get to a point where you can simply say, everything I have to qualify before the Father, everything I have to qualify in my life has nothing to do with my performance, has nothing to do with my credibility, has nothing to do with my integrity. It has everything to do with God has to offer me in Christ Jesus. He said, unless you have that revelation put on your chest, what will simply happen is the devil will have an inroad to throw accusations at you. And when he throws accusations at you, it disqualifies you. It condemns you. Now, can you now see the reason why the devil has very little job to do on a Christian upon which he has thrown what? Accusations. That's why it is self-defeat. That's why the Bible says we need to put it on the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Because the enemy will surely come to accuse. He will surely come to condemn you. He will surely come to disqualify you. In fact, he will simply tell you, why are you different from your what? From your family. Why should your situation, why should your condition be anything better? You're not better than them. You're all the same. He comes to disqualify you from whatever Christ paid for what? On the cross. And the Bible says, if you're going to deal with that, you need to know your righteousness is of God. Isaiah 54 what? 17. Unless we put this on all the time, he said the devil's weapon of accusation will hit our chest. And that's what he's saying there.
Maybe I would like to submit to our viewers to know that this particular weapon, the second weapon, which is the weapon of the breastplate of righteousness, is being overlooked. I think most people do not have a problem in picking this word, you know. They feel like it's very, very important. They are important, just like we know that everyone is important, because we are asked to take all, to be able to stand in all. You know, that is it. We cannot overlook this breastplate of righteousness. And also, we've talked about how the enemy is coming, that the warfare tactics has changed, you know. And it's not about that it's attack for attack. No. We see that it's coming from, it's using wiles. And so it's going to scheme, it's going to talk you out. That is the thing.
That's the point.
It's going to, we saw today in Isaiah 54 verse 17 that it's going to use the weapon of tongue to talk you out. You know, it looks nothing serious like that. Just tongue. How can tongue be something that we could need to really prepare for? How can we see it as a strong object of offense? Well, yes, it's a powerful weapon here, because it's going to come, and then it's going to come and say, when they gather, they're going to use something. So we need to pay attention.
So
and what they
said
they're going to use is the tongue. So we cannot overlook and say, what is tongue? So it is the tongue. They're going to use tongue. And then we are being prepared for how do you respond. It's because they say, you're going to do it. You are going to condemn those tongues. You say, the responsibility is on you. The body of that responsibility of attacking those tongues is on you. So you're not going to look around to your pastor or anybody or any somebody you assume is the spiritual giant to do this. So running to prayer meeting, running to this, unless the prayer meeting is going to help you to be able to do it yourself, it's going to promote you to do it, provoke you to do that yourself. You say you are going to condemn those tongues. So you don't need to panic. You don't need to just go and call and hide your face and hide yourself. You are to respond. And that's why you are going to condemn, you know. You are going to use the tongue too. It's the same. You come with the tongue. They are coming with the tongue. You are going to come with your own tongue. And then when you are coming, and what you are going to speak is based on the understanding that you have the righteousness.
It's of me.
It's of the
Lord.
It's
not yours. It's not a performance. It's nothing about you now. It's nothing about your pedigree or where you came from or your family background or your exposure or your experience. It's got nothing to do with it. But the devil will try to change your focus of that righteousness, and he's going to change that focus and try to place it on your pedigree. That's the point. He will try to place it on your performance. He will try to place it on your background. He says, no, don't ever allow him to do that. Always place it back on where you know it came from, of the Lord. And if it's of the Lord, it means it's perfect. The enemy has nothing to accuse you about.
So your premise of defense is just knowing that the righteousness is of the Lord. So the devil, that's all the answer for every accusation that's coming.
Lord.
Because he said they will accuse you with the tongue. So he's going to accuse you what this is. And you only have one answer to it. Your righteousness is of the Lord. So nobody can talk you out of that righteousness. And that is why that breastplate, we can now see that it has answered the question, why is the breastplate called the breastplate of righteousness?
That's it.
So you really have to have a breastplate of righteousness, and that righteousness, you must know that it is of the Lord. So it is not born out of activity, it's not born out of what you do, because the devil might want to say, oh, because you do not do something, so
that's why you will not get the
so
best.
So it talked you out of it. Talked you out of that weapon of defense. So you don't have it. But if you know that your righteousness is not about what you do, so when you say you did not do this, you know, it doesn't make any sense. Because the righteousness is of the Lord. So it's not of you. So you cannot say because of what you do, the righteousness is of the Lord. And it's such an important weapon we need to pay our attention to. I know that we need to harm ourselves to teach using this breastplate of righteousness. We need to have it against the accusation that comes from, against the accusation and condemnation of tongues. That is, they will gather with the tongues and want to talk us out of the righteousness that is of the Lord. But we must put it on and all the time we are kitted in the full consciousness and awareness that we have the righteousness that is of the Lord. That is not born out of what we do or what we qualify or what we choose not to do. Some is not about where they have the righteousness based on what they do not do. Because they were not doing some things. That's why they have some righteousness. And some believe they have the righteousness of the Lord based on what some things that they are doing. But we just, whether what you do or what you do not do, that is not the righteousness we are talking about. The breastplate of righteousness we are talking about is the one that comes from the Lord.
Thank you for that insight. God bless you. Now let's say this, and let's highlight this. Why would the enemy, I mean, if they will surely gather against you, I thought they were going to, you know, in a way, like some people think they're going to, in
through
a way,
javelin,
through javelin, or they're going to gather against you, and in your dream, they will try to stifle life out of you, because, or in your dream, they will try to put failure upon your life. Like some people think that what the devil does is cause you to fail, or the devil tries to bring the curses upon your generation and bring it upon your head to make you to fail in your life and destiny. Well, if you believe such things, it would mean that already believing those things is even a problem, because you're simply saying that Galatians 3:13-14 doesn't apply to you. You don't even qualify to work in that reality. But the Bible says that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for you. For it is written, curses every man that is hung on a tree. So even if witches and wizards will attack a man's destiny, because they know you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, all they have to do is come back to this Isaiah 54 and come up with this weapon. All they have to do then is simply make you understand why you don't even actually qualify to get the benefit of the cross, to get the benefit of what Christ paid for. Because the devil knows anyone who stands accused, anyone who stands condemned, are unable, they don't have the capacity to lay hold on what Christ actually did on the cross. That's what the Bible says in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. The reason why he says that is because as long as a man stands accused or condemned, or why the devil can make you think that this is the reason your life cannot be better than others, or this is the reason why you cannot walk in the victory that Christ paid for, as long as he can get you convinced and condemn you and disqualify you, that's it. It doesn't matter what Christ paid for on the cross. It doesn't matter what Jesus shed his blood for. As long as the enemy can put that on your chest, that condemnation, and disqualify you, It means you cannot walk in that victory. And that really is the true spiritual warfare. You see, that's the, see, as Christians, we, if you've been following us on the past few transmissions, we've been knocking out all the false ideology that people have about spiritual warfare. Spiritual warfare that some people do is just not spiritual warfare in the context of the scriptures. It's just personal feelings. It's just somebody psyching you up to pray hot prayers. Real spiritual warfare comes from you taking your stand in what Christ paid for on the cross. Now, if you look at this, let's continue quickly.
I want to add that no matter if you don't understand this, if you stand condemned, there's no way you can have the confidence. So if you have the confidence, you need to approach the throne of grace to receive with confidence.
Everything you want to get in Christ is coming. In fact, there's a place
process,
in 1 John 3.
You need the faith so you do not cut yourself off the benefit.
That's it.
So you are condemned already, you cannot. You've taken yourself out of the equation. You know, that is the thing. Mm. And that's what the devil wants to, that out of your own free will, you remove yourself from the benefit of Christ.
Disqualify yourself. That's,
and talk you out of it. That is
it.
What the devil is going to do. Without training anything at all. Mm. Just using the tongue to talk you out of it. Mm. So you need to understand that even with the tongue, hearing what that alone, and you don't have the proper difference, knowing that your righteousness is of the Lord, you just walk out of all the provisions of Christ that has
that's
made.
It.
You just walk out of all the feast of fat things that is set on the table for you. You walk out of it because you feel condemned.
In fact, some people, they go to places of prayer and they talk about praying spiritual warfare prayers, and you wonder, think about it. As you begin to pray, somebody tells you the reason why evil has begun to happen in your life is simply because of the fact that your forefathers or those who were your great grandfathers, because of what they did wrong, that's why evil has to happen in your life. If that's the premise of your prayer point, you've automatically first disqualify yourself, because the Bible tells you in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, it says, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creation. But you are simply saying, I don't think I'm a new creation. Whatever that which was done, all the evil and atrocities committed in my lineage is upon my life anyway, and that's why I'm failing. Now, all the devil has to make you believe is disqualify you from the benefit of redemption. And that Bible says this attack, this is the true attack on our soul. It says, every tongue, see, that arise against you. Tongues are arising against you. Words have been spoken. Now, we're going to look at a case study very soon in the scriptures. Words are spoken against you, and the purpose of those words is to condemn. You see, the word condemn might, it doesn't sound like we think, we most times think to condemn something means to say you are bad. But actually, the word condemnation, the root Greek word for condemnation, means to tell someone that they are of no use. They mean they don't qualify. That's what it means, no use. So it would mean that what the devil would do then is to tell you that...
to put them down.
To say no. I mean, we know the Bible says you're a new creation. Or we know the Bible says you have been redeemed from the curse of the law. But no, it can't be that easy for you like that. It's not that easy. And once the devil can convince you, he knows you cannot lay hold on what Christ died for. And that's what we're talking about. It's an attack. And the Bible says, you then need to turn back on the enemy and say, listen, Satan, the righteousness now is of the Lord. It's not me. Even if the enemy comes to you and tells you, because you've done something very bad in the past, because you've done something evil in the past, because you've offended God in the past, now that you have repented and have come to Christ, and the devil is simply going to tell you, the reason why you should not expect a great progress in your life, the reason why life cannot be that easy for you, is because of those things you have done. That is a tongue coming against you. That's a tongue attacking you. And the Bible says, you need to tell him, hey devil, my righteousness is of the Lord. Put on the bulletproof of righteousness. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, because arrows have been fired at your heart. And that's what the Bible is telling us today. Now let's look at a case study straight away, and see how we can take our stand in putting on this breastplate of righteousness. Let's go to the book of 1 Kings chapter 19. This is a case study in the spirit that we're going to have a look at this evening. 1 Kings chapter 19, and listen from verse 1. And see what the Lord has to say to us about this bulletproof of righteousness, this breastplate of righteousness in taking our stand against the enemy. If I'm verse 1, please.
Yes, and Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done.
Yes.
And with that, he had slain all the prophets with the sword.
Well, to slain all the prophets with the sword is not a joke. This man Elijah is not joking. He's on fire. Is that okay? He's on fire. That's the background of this 1 Kings 19. He's actually destroyed this prophet of Baal and Ashtaroth. So this man is on fire. Can you see that? Now look at the next thing then.
Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying,
okay.
So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not the life as the life of one of them by tomorrow, about this time.
Now, Philistine, now those are words. Those are words spoken. Those are words spoken. So the enemy, you see, Jezebel is a type of the spirit of witchcraft. I mean, without even too much details, if you go to Revelation, the book of Revelation talked about the church there and talked about they tolerate that woman called what? Jezebel. So we know in the New Testament, this spirit is at work in the New Testament, according to the book of Revelation. So this spirit of Jezebel released words unto Elijah. These words were meant to disqualify Elijah. Because don't forget, this same man, Elijah, who slew the prophet of Baal and Ashtaroth. Elijah is a man on fire on Mount Carmel. This man is not joking. This man is a warrior of the Lord. And yet a woman, what would Jezebel do? Jezebel wasn't even coming with weapons of mass destruction. I would say she was coming with weapons of mouth destruction, if that's the word. So it's going to be a weapon of mouth destruction. All she had to release were words to disqualify Elijah. And so now, watch this. Now, go on, please.
And when he saw that...
Now, that's the word. It wasn't just what Jezebel said that was the problem. It's not the fact that there were tongues rising against you. That's the problem. That's not the problem. Don't forget, Isaiah chapter 54 says... Every tongue that what? Right. Arise against you. I've seen people saying, I'm going to quote Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Anybody can quote that verse. It will prosper unless there is something that is shielding that weapon. That's why Ephesians 6:14 says, you need to put on the breastplate of righteousness. It has to be the reason why the Roman soldier put on the breastplate is because he knows something can be thrown at his chest area. So the reason why he says no weapon formed against you shall prosper is because he knows in the next verse, he says every tongue that arises against you, you will have to what? Make sure it doesn't work. You shall condemn. You have a fortification against the weapon. If there's no fortification, the weapon will not just prosper. It will somersault you. So he says every tongue that arises against you, you are doing something about the tongue. He said you shall condemn. So here it is. The Bible says this woman released words straight to Elijah. And the Bible says, when Elijah saw that. You can see, there seems to be a kiss between what she said and how Elijah what? Received it. When he saw that. We might say, when the weapon sank in. Can you see that? So it's not the fact that weapons are being thrown. It's about, are you seeing that? Or are you receiving that? Or is there no fortification against this weapon? Can you see? When he saw that. That's a very important word. When Elijah took it in. When Elijah was able to, when the weapon of this woman's words sank into him. Now, see, when he saw that, that's the word.
And when he saw that, he arose.
Okay.
And went for his life.
Ran for his life. Now, this is a bit strange. This is very strange. Why would this Elijah be running for his life? Now, it would mean, this is very strange. This is a man that actually slaughtered over 900 what? False prophets. Is a man on fire, a man who had the strength of the spirit, a man on fire for God's kingdom. But yet, when these words were released against him and he saw that, he took it in, the Bible says he began to pick race. Now, he ran for his life. Do you know one thing? I want you to think about this as a child of God. The devil doesn't need to chase you. The devil doesn't need to what? Attack your destiny. He can't even anyway if you're a Christian, because you are seated with Christ in the heavenly places, far above principalities and powers. So what does he do? It's simple. All he has to do then is make you run when nobody's chasing you. All he has to do is actually what? In a way, limit you or restrict you from laying hold on the benefit of the cross. Here was Elijah. The Bible says he was what? Running. And I began to look. I began to search. I said, where were the chariots from Jezebel chasing Elijah? There was none. There was no chariot from Jezebel chasing Elijah. He began to run. Bible said he saw what she said. And that's what we can see there. So it means there was something about words that have been spoken. And the Bible says if words are spoken by the enemy against you to accuse you, to disqualify you, you have to do something about it by putting on the bulletproof of righteousness. So can you go on, please?
But he himself went a day's journey to the wilderness.
Yeah.
And came and sat down under a juniper tree.
Okay, that's fine. So that's what we're trying to put out there. And then that's it. Now, please look at verse 4. Now, watch this. Look at verse 4. Now, because if you begin to look at it, you begin to wonder, what did Elijah see in the words that Jezebel spoke to him? Let's see what he saw.
And he requested for himself that he might die.
Why? Let's watch his commentary.
And said,
watch that word now. Yeah, what
it is enough.
Good.
Now, O Lord, take away my life.
Why?
For I'm not better than my father's.
So when it was accusation. We now know what Elijah saw of what Jezebel said was what? Condemnation. It was accusation. It was disqualification. How did we know that? Because Elijah's commentary, by his own mouth, he said, I am not what? Better. I'm disqualified. I don't even actually, I'm not better than my fathers. And here we come again to tell you, as a child of God, that one of the greatest weapons that the enemy throws at you, which is why we needed the breastplate of what? Righteousness. Goodness. Is all it tries to do is to make you come to the understanding of why you are no better from having the same experience that your generation had always had. Why you're not better? Why would you think that you will be different? Or why do you think that your spiritual experience will be deeper? Or why do you think you would actually lay hold upon the full benefit of the cross when actually you are coming from such a background? You are coming from such a lineage. And that's the very thing it speaks to your mind. That's what it speaks to your heart on a daily basis. And the Bible says you need to put on a bulletproof and simply say, listen, devil, the righteousness I'm claiming, the right standing I'm claiming, the reason why I would enjoy every single benefit of Jesus' death and resurrection is not because of what I've done. My righteousness is of him, according to Isaiah 54:17.
Yeah, so any doubting Thomas out there who is thinking literally of the weapon of mouth to destruction.
Oh, yeah. Here was a man running.
This is a man that slew hundreds of prophets all alone by himself. And they just got somebody saying something and is running for his life. It was not just... So for us to know where that running is oriented for and then what is the running is about. It's not running marathon race. It's not running for fitness. You know, it's not running for fitness. It's running for life, running to survive. Just because somebody said something and those words projected, you know, the word forms images.
It became
the weapons.
Yeah.
So that is it. What become formed. Mm. So you cannot just say that those are ordinary words and the rest. That's why the scripture is drawing you to Isaiah 54. They are weapon they're using. So don't just take words like it is words. So for somebody that single-handedly slew hundreds of prophets, he was running from when the weapon that came from the words came to him, he saw it.
It
was projected. So that's why you should take serious the weapon of this mass destruction and know that the breastplate of righteousness, knowing. And you see that he ran because he was defeated, because he allowed the accusation to seek him to him. And that's why he was saying, he said, I'm not
better.
His own
commentary. Yeah, that's it. I don't even qualify anyway.
He stand accused.
Accused. That's
it. That he got the accusation and he couldn't summon and in defense, bring the breastplate of righteousness. I'm better because I'm ordained. I'm better because of the righteousness of God. He never had that. There was nothing. That is for in defense for that. So he stand accused. And that is why we're telling you from Ephesians chapter 6 to need to take up this. You cannot afford not to have the breastplate of righteousness against the tongues of accusations that are coming. You have them in gatherings. They will gather. So it's not just one. It's not just like, I've done one. Mm. And then you need to have it on all the time because you are going to have gatherings, several tongues coming at you. And it doesn't matter the feat. You can see that you have succeeded with this and this. Yeah, we saw Elijah. He actually slew hundreds of prophets before. Mm. So you really need to, because you will run. You might run for one tongue. After several victories and breakthroughs and success you have recorded after several testimonies.
Mm.
Yes, you just have to put on the breastplate of righteousness because you can run for Jezebel despite all the breakthroughs and the prayers you've been praying.
Now, thank you for the last insight that you brought into this. And that's why we said the other time, and I don't think we can belabor this or overemphasize this, that the Bible says in Ephesians 6 from verse 10 to verse 13, the only guarantee we have to stand is to take on the full armor. The complete armor. Some other translation says complete armor. Can you see? Just because somebody can use the sword of the spirit, just because somebody can quote the word and in a way say, well, you can declare the word of God, you can use the sword of the spirit in Ephesians 6:14-16, doesn't in a way immune you against this thing being thrown. Because here we saw Elijah display power on Mount Carmel. Here we saw Elijah call down fire on Mount Carmel. He was a prophet on fire. But we saw that term, there was something that when Jezebel released those words, the Bible says, not just that the words were released by Jezebel, he himself took it in. It seems that this man was vulnerable. It seems that there was something that was not protecting him. Even though he had great feet in the spirit, he had great authority in the spirit, but his heart area, his chest area wasn't protected. And so when the words came, we know what the words did. They disqualified him. That's why I say it was no better. And let's say this. To those of us that believe in the power of prayer, I believe if you're watching this transmission, whether you're watching it live or you're downloading and watching later, I believe you are part of the, I'll call the spiritual fanatics. You are the one that believe in the power of prayer. You believe in the believer's authority. You believe in spiritual warfare, that we're meant to take our stand in the realm of the spirit. And let me say this to this people in that category this evening. That wonder why a man like Elijah is running around. Like I said again, why will Elijah be running around? It would mean that some Christians who begin to pray and say, Father, fire, this and that, that this one is chasing me. That one is chasing me. I know that woman chasing me. I know that man chasing me, my family. I know those people that have said I will not succeed in life. And you're going to say they have been chasing me. They're not going to leave me alone. Listen, maybe in most cases, your life could be where Elijah was. He was just running around. And we look around Elijah. We could not find any chariot from Jezebel chasing him. We look around Elijah's destiny. There was no chariot of fire. There were no soldiers. There were no armies that were chasing Elijah. What was chasing Elijah was the turning. The word that was released, and we know from his commentary in verse 4 of 1 Kings 19 was accusation. He said it himself, I'm not better. It would mean the reason why most Christians are jumping here and there, the reason why most Christians are actually claiming that something is chasing them is what the devil does to you is simply to exclude you or to disqualify you or to make you unable to lay hold of the benefits of Christ. And you start claiming that the reason why your destiny is the way it is because of this, is because of that, is because of that. And you begin to look at so many things and you begin to discredit what Jesus paid for. You begin to discredit the victory of Christ. You are not putting the victory of Christ in focus. The enemy will try to make sure that you are in that stage. And that's the very thing that is chasing so many Christians, really. That's what it's chasing. The devil cannot chase you. The devil doesn't have what it takes. He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. What would the devil do? What he did with Elijah. What will he do? What he did in Isaiah 54:17. That's what he does. He attacks us. And the Bible says our immunity against that is a bulletproof of righteousness.
We can see the wisdom of the Lord in providing this breastplate of righteousness that is situated in the heart, in the chest region. You know, that's where the seat where we process thoughts and words coming from the people. So we already have a defense for that. And it's that's right, the breastplate in the breast area, the chest area, where you have your mind, where you can process, where the thoughts and everything comes to you. I start thinking through, and that is where we have it. We have that is situated when it comes at your heart, because you have to take things in and start thinking and analyzing the words, what they say, and that when you're analyzing it, becoming forming pictures and images. And so we are now encouraging our viewers, instead of running around from one place to another, from one spiritual house, spiritual gathering, under one cover to another, running for your life, like you claim, like Elijah was doing it, just go and take up the breastplate of righteousness.
There was nothing.
There wouldn't be any need for running for
there
Elijah.
There was nothing chasing him.
Yes.
It was the accusation. It was the condemnation from the mouth of Jezebel that was chasing him. And that's it.
So there wouldn't be any need for him to be running for his life. He had the breastplate of righteousness, so he can defend that accusation without using that as a
reason. As it's of the Lord.
So instead of running from one place to another today, just take up, just like Ephesians says, take up that breastplate of righteousness today. You wouldn't need to run.
And that's it. Now, thank you. Now, see, that's what we've been saying there. So if we go back there, Elijah did say that I'm not better than my fathers. And have you noticed that? It would mean that he connected himself to the failure of his generation. You see that? He connected himself to the failure of his generation. So it means any form of teaching, any form of motivation. And some people say, well, it's in a bit to motivate you to pray. Any teaching or motivation that connects you to the situation of your fathers. Watch the word. I'm not better than my fathers. It means accusation, the spirit of accusation and slander is that spirit that connects you to the failure of your fathers, to the failure of your background. And it tells you that your experience should not be any better because you are connected to your fathers. Let me tell you, if you are a child of God, the Bible talks about the fact that you have a different generation.
You
have a different generation. You have a different background. In fact, the book of Peter tells us that you are a chosen generation. The word generation is where you get the word gene from. Generation. And we know in biology, or does that be medical science, that the gene is the one that actually determines the characteristic of a child. Whether the child will be black or white, red or whatever color, it comes from the gene. And the Bible says you are a chosen generation. It means what the devil will try to do to accuse you or disqualify you is to connect you to that old man generation. And it does that because it knows as long as you are connected to that generation, you are disqualified from laying hold upon what Christ made available for you. And that's why the Bible says you need to reply the devil and reply whatever is throwing at you and say, listen, my righteousness is not of anything about me. It's not about my background. It's not about my performance. It's not even about what I've done or not done. It's of the Lord. And the scripture says, as long as you take that on 24/7, it said put on 24/7. If you do that, there is no way that's going to work for you. It's not going to work against you. It's not going to work in your life. Whatever weapon is thrown will not work in your destiny.
And Father showed that Elijah did not understand that and did not take up that breastplate of righteousness because he was saying, he was showing that all the linkage was just for his earthly fathers. He wasn't better than his fathers. He had taking up the breastplate of righteousness.
It's of the Lord.
That's so you know that it's from the Lord. So he can only trace himself to the Lord. And whatsoever the experience that is consistent with the Lord should be what his experience is. Well, because he did not have that, what he was able to, the only thing that they have brought him down to his fathers. And so that is what he could say, stand accused that way. But if we know it's of the Lord, and that is it, you cannot lay claim to these things. To these earthly fathers, you cannot lay claim to your brother and be the son and daughters of the soul and be able to claim the righteousness of the Lord. It doesn't work that way. You just have to, it doesn't work that way.
Thank you for that. Now, viewers all over the world, I presume that you've come to a point in which you've been listening to this for the past couple of minutes, you will understand that what we are doing today is critical. And there's a reason. This is warfare. This is not a joke. This is warfare. This is true spiritual warfare. This is the fight we've been called to fight. And then it means if any place you are, anything you listen to that keeps connecting you to your natural order, that keeps connecting you to your fathers in the natural, and then they now say, now pray and pray to cancel it. I mean, what are we doing? It's like taking one step forward and taking 1,000 steps backward. And that's the point. Now let's go quickly as we progress with this, putting on this breastplate of righteousness so that we can stand against what the enemy is throwing at us. We're going to go to 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy 3, so we can gain more insight on putting on this breastplate of righteousness. There's something you were saying the other time, and I think that's very important for our viewers to take note, that right in the chest we have where you have your heart. And the Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence. For out of it flows the issues of life, the things that control your life, the things that control your destiny. He said, that's where it is. You have to guide it. And when he says guide it, now we know from the scriptures, it's the breastplate of righteousness. It needs to be guided. 1 Timothy 3, and we're going to take it slowly from verse 5.
It reads,
yes,
for if a man know not how to rule his own house,
yes, please.
How shall he take care of the church of God?
Yes, please.
Not a novice,
yeah,
lest being lifted up with pride,
yeah, that's
fall it. Into the condemnation of the devil.
Now, please, it says, if a man knows not on how to what? Take care of his own household. What does it say then?
How shall he take care of the church of God? I think we need to give the people the background of this.
Yeah, okay.
We not read chapter
we don't want to read because of time. Now, let's say this. We're looking into these scriptures to get the deeper insight of this bulletproof vest, the bulletproof of righteousness. And we hear you in 1 Timothy 3. Let us give a backdrop of 1 Timothy 3 so that our viewers can understand this. This is actually given practical step-by-step instruction to those who want to take up the office of a bishop. So he began to list the things that they should take note of before somebody can make a bishop. And that's the background. But what we are interested in is to look at his bulletproof in this 1 Timothy 3 and see the insight the Lord has to give to us. And so that's what we're reading from. So the verse 5 that we started from began to talk about some other practical qualifications that this bishop should have. He said it should be what? He should be able to rule his own house. I mean, that's what it says. Now go on, please.
Verse 6.
Verse 6.
Not a novice.
He shouldn't be a novice. Now, Again, go on, please.
Lest being lifted up with
pride. Now, the reason, you see, the reason we're going there, this is about righteousness. Don't forget that. But it says, whoever has been made the bishop should not be a novice. Now, let's say this before we go on, so that we don't get this twisted. When it says a novice in this case, how do you define a spiritual novice?
Not by age.
It's not talking about age. You wonder why, how did we know this? Well, the scriptures, we interpret scriptures very soon. It's not about age. It's not even talking about the length of years of being in church. We will see very soon why he calls somebody novice. And I think maybe we can even read the scriptures first to see who is a novice. Now, don't forget, we are coming to the breastplate, the bulletproof of righteousness, but we're just trying to get inside. You can go to Hebrews 5.
Okay.
Hebrews 5. So that we want to clarify this novice thing before we come back here. Hebrews 5, and if you can read from maybe from verse 13.
Now
watch this. Yep.
For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Everyone that uses milk is unskillful. It says, okay.
In the word of righteousness, for he's a babe.
Oh, he's a babe. Well, now, okay. You might even want to read from verse 12, please. Verse 11.
Of whom we have many things to say.
And Hebrews 5:11. Of whom we have many things to say.
Huh? And have to be altered.
Seeing
ye are dull of hearing.
Why say some people are dull of hearing? Well, this really then makes a lot of sense in this generation today. That some people that if begun to dish out the reality of the word, they can't even stand 5 minutes. They just begin to, but if it's about entertainment, yeah, they are up for it. This one says, Paul says, these people, this Hebrew Christian, he says, Paul says, I can't even talk deep revelations. You're dull of hearing. You don't even want to hear anymore. You're tired already. Now go on to the next verse. When you ought to be teachers,
ye have need that one teach you.
Okay.
Again.
Okay, go on.
Which be the first principle of oracles of God.
These people were in the church. Can you see? Go on.
And have become such as have had need of milk.
Don't forget, they have been in the church. Can you see that? It means that they need milk. Okay.
In the place of worship. Yes.
In the place of worship, yeah.
And not of strong meat.
Okay.
13. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness.
Ah, now go on, please.
For he is a babe.
Oh, now we understand who a baby is. People talk about spiritual maturity, and make it so vague. Well, he's saying spiritual maturity will start from verse 11. Is this person somebody that is not dull of what?
Yeah.
Aaron, people that have lost appetite for the strong revelation of God's word. If you begin to teach the word of God in depth and a revelation, they become tired. Well, it doesn't matter if you've been in the church for 10 years or 15 years. The Bible says in Hebrews 5, 11 to 14, you are a babe. So we now begin to see. Then go on, please. He said these people, they have need of what? Of milk. Mm-hmm. And he tells us why. He said they are like babies because they are unskillful in the word of righteousness. Again, we see what a baby is. It means to be a babe, to be a novice, to be somebody who is a babe in the realm of the spirit. It's not about the length of time you've been in church. It's not how long you've been in the ministry. It's not how long you've served the overseer in the ministry. He said, well, are you skillful in the word of right? If not, you're a babe.
But strong meat.
Now watch the word. The word of what? Righteousness. This thing we're talking about today. This breastplate of righteousness. The Bible says, if you've not come to a point of being skillful or have to use it, you know, it says being skillful. We all know when we talk about skill. When you say a footballer is skillful, it means a footballer can do with the ball what an ordinary person cannot do.
Okay.
Or when you talk about a soldier, or you talk about a policeman, a pianist being skillful, it means with the very tool that they have, they can do tricks, wonders with what they have. The Bible says, if you are not skillful in the word of what?
Righteousness.
In which you've come to a point in your life where you can use this word of righteousness, you are so skillful. It's a tool for you in the realm of the spirit. It's your tool. It means when the enemy is coming at you from different direction, you can use this tool, wonders with this tool of righteousness. The Bible says, if you cannot do that, you are a babe, a novice. Now, it's got nothing to do with whether you have been in church for 10 years or 15 years. Babe in the realm of the spirit has nothing to do whether you are serving the overseer or you are the one carrying his bag for 20 years. For some people in the church, they say, well, a novice. I mean, they say, we will not ordain a novice in our church. And you ask them, what is your definition of what? Novice. They only say he's a novice because he has just joined their ministry 1 year ago. That's why he's a novice. Now, that's not what the Bible says. Somebody can join a ministry today. He might not be a novice. And somebody can join a ministry 30 years ago and he's a novice. The definition for novice or babe is somebody who is not skillful. in the word of righteousness.
And thank God they use the word of righteousness, because some people are skillful in administration,
now,
skillful in the word of motivation.
The word of righteousness.
That's the word of righteousness. So
now we see the connection point. So let's run all the way back to 1 Timothy 3:5-8. That's where we are. So we now know who the novice is. So he says, if you're going to ordain somebody as a bishop, it shouldn't be what?
A novice.
Now, in that novice, let's fill in the gap from Hebrews 5, from verse 13, it'll be somebody who is unskillful in the word of righteousness. They don't have the revelation of this righteousness. They can't use this tool of righteousness to their advantage in warfare. They've not come to that point. That's a novice.
Not a novice.
Now, what?
Let's be lifted up with pride.
Uh-huh.
He fall into the condemnation of the devil.
Aha! Now here we go. We are trying to see this breastplate. This bulletproof of righteousness. He said if somebody is a novice, in quote, unskillful in the word of righteousness, he said what happens, they are open to devil's attack. See? He said they will fall into the condemnation of what? Of the devil. Now the fact is, what is this? Look, mark the word. Condemnation. Accusation, disqualification. That's the point. So he says, if the person is a novice and they have not learned how to use righteousness as a tool, they've not become skillful on how to use righteousness, what happens is they are open to the condemnation of the devil. So now we begin to understand why we are being encouraged in Ephesians 6:14. He says, put on the breastplate of righteousness. Why? Because the devil is throwing something. We see in 1 Timothy 3:5 what he's throwing. We now know he said the condemnation of the devil. He's throwing something. What is he throwing? Accusation. What is he throwing? Condemnation. What's the purpose? To disqualify. What's the purpose? To make you come to a point where you have the sense or a feeling where you believe that you don't even qualify to lay hold upon what Christ has paid for on the cross for you. And the Bible says, unless somebody is skillful in the word of righteousness, they can fall for the devil's word, condemnation. So this is not a joke. This is warfare. And then I think we can carry on from that.
Yes, because some people will just be thinking that warfare is a thing that is like, oh, these people, do they really understand warfare? See how the way they are talking quietly about it, because you're now shouting and shows like, oh, let's shout or run around. Because if you see some place of worship, people are running. Even in that compound, running like Elijah. Running like that, and they feel like, oh, that is warfare. And we just sat down on the sofa and think, like, what can you do? What can you say about warfare? But we can see that what we're saying is true. And you can see the consistency of the scripture in the on this theme, starting from Isaiah 54, telling you that this weapon of mass destruction is coming. Accusation.
Mass destruction.
Yes, it's coming with accusation and condemnation. And then you need, when you have condemnation like this, you need, it's coming to your heart, which you need your heart to be guided. And that's why we have a hammer for that. You have to avail yourself of that and pick it up. So before you rush up for other, the one that looks so obvious and that looks so attractive and looks like the shield of faith and pick all those things, they are equally important. You must not forget the breastplate of righteousness, because you have some gatherings. There are some gatherings, they are coming, and those ones, they are not going to throw a javelin. Those ones are not going just to throw a sword at you. Those gatherings, they're just going to use the tongue. And so you need to really be prepared for such, because they will surely gather. So it's not about probably they might or not. No, surely they will gather. So the gathering is not of the Lord, but surely they will gather. And then when they gather, they have just only one purpose. And one purpose is to condemn you, to accuse you. And then the only way you can stand not accused is by putting on your breastplate of righteousness. Because it is when you have the breastplate of righteousness, no matter the premise of their accusation, you know that the righteousness is of the Lord. And so whatsoever that is of the Lord, there is no way we can reconcile.
It's giving
whatsoever,
to you as a benefit.
Yes, earthly argument about it. It is beyond their realm, their scope, beyond their pay grade.
You can talk to my lawyer. You can talk to my Lord. Talk to my solicitor, my Jesus. The Bible calls Jesus our advocate. Talk to him. If you have anything against me, if you claim that I'm not blessed, if you claim that I need to sow a seed so that I can be blessed, well, talk to my advocate, my Jesus, who told me that he has blessed me with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus.
So all their premises or whatever argument they have is beyond their pay grade, because the righteousness we are talking about is not under contention. It's not under their scope of understanding.
It's not even of you.
It's not of you. It's not of what their scope of understanding. It's not earthly. It's not what they can understand. It's not in their realm. It's not in the plane of their understanding where your enemy is. Not what they can understand. It's not in their plane of understanding. They cannot grasp it. It's not in their bandwidth at all. It is of the Lord. It's not of you. And it's not. They cannot disqualify you from it because it's not what you are doing or what you have done for it.
Or what you have not done.
Or what you have not done.
Enough.
You have not done enough for. So it's not the righteousness that can be tied down to all those things. It is of the Lord. And so it is only the Lord. They can only ask the Lord.
With him, with your advocate.
Yes. So Jesus. Any questions they have is for the Lord. So you have no point. They don't have any point answering you at all. And that's how important that breastplate of righteousness is. Mm. And we had a case study about Elijah. We saw how it was after they destroyed so many of those prophets. Mm. So we really need to pay attention to this breastplate of righteousness because irrespective of all the victories you have recorded and accounted for, irrespective of your testimony, just like we saw Elijah, he killed hundreds of prophets single-handedly. So we cannot say that man is just a small man or something like that. No. You see, but yet he's not skillful in that. He's a novice. That is the thing.
No.
And so it's not about what you have a testimony, so of what you have done and people are praising you for. We just have to know that the way not to be a novice is to be skillful in the word of righteousness. So you need to be skillful, know how to play around it, how to work with it,
how to use it,
how to produce
what the
with it.
Demands. You know, yes. You've been skillful with it.
So it's not just knowing the word of righteousness. You must be able to do magic, do wonder with the words of righteousness.
Preach
with
it. Spiritual
preach. You
must
be able to use it very well. And so to this week, we are sending you forth to go to that word of righteousness, just like we open it, so that you can understand and master it. Mm. Master the skill of that. So you really have to master so that you can know how to, you'll be able to use it to your advantage and stay defended. Mm. I don't think we can go forth beyond for this episode. So we really need you to join us tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time, as we continue on this. We just started on the Ephesians. We only talk about the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness.
We haven't done with that yet.
So we have not even, like I just said now, we have not done with the breastplate of righteousness yet. So you will need to join us to know where we're going. We're heading with this. So tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time, we are going to continue. And so in case you are not there and you'll not be able to meet to join us in live and that transmission, you know our page where you can listen to it in your own free time. So we want to say thank you for coming today, for joining us today. And so we'd like to say that you should live this truth and share this with your friends and contacts. And for some people who have liked one of our videos, one or two of our videos, but have not liked the page, if you have not liked the page, you're going to remove yourself from further, because you will not get to know when we are sharing some other things and some other messages. So it's good for you to like the video, but like the page, so you can avail yourself of other things, other episodes that are the page. So we'll see you next week, tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time. So what do you want to say?
Well, God bless you. We'll see you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Stay blessed.
Stay blessed.